We read responsively Psalm 103. The piano side reads the light verses. The courtyard side reads the bold verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You will not always accuse us, nor will you keep your anger forever. You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your steadfast love for those who fear you. As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so you have compassion for those who fear you, O Lord. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 14. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come forward. Except for I was like, you guys need to quit.
No, I quit.
You quit?
I quit because I knew Carmen was winning and he had like $4,000.
Oh, you know, that was actually, you're right. I remember that now. There was another, oh, it was Risk that on day two I made you, yeah. Well, let's say that you guys had roped, well, maybe it was all Cameron. You had roped not only Holden, but Liana and myself into playing a game of Monopoly, or Wigbyopoly, as it were. Yeah, Cam? And you saw, I'll just pick somebody, let's say it was Holden, who was stealing $500 from the bank. What would you do, Cameron?
I would say, because I'm usually the banker, put that back.
Yeah, you as the banker would be upset with him.
Says the person who once tried to trick me, but then I figured out you had stole $1,000 from the bank.
Wait, did I have the wrong suspect? Is Cameron the more likely thief? Well, let's say it was Holden. And let's say, after being a little upset, Cameron, you were to forgive him. How would you feel then, Holden? Pretty good. Good, except for maybe not if you didn't want to play the game anymore, because you wouldn't be out anymore. Well, okay, so Cameron has forgiven you of this attempted $500 theft. But you're going around the board now, and Liana lands on Baltic Avenue, which you own. Yeah, and she owes you a dollar in rent. Just one little white paper dollar. But Liana, you're broke. You don't have that dollar. What do you do there, Holden?
I said, well, let's just tweak the rules.
Tweak the rules? How do you tweak the rules? But that's how you get the game to go on forever and ever, right? Well, let's say that you are really interested in getting this thing done and over with now. What then might you have done, Liana? You might have said, no way, no how, you pay me your dollar or you get out of the game.
Or you worthless.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. I would just say, okay, I'll take a dollar from the bank.
Well, if you wouldn't forgive her, whereas you were forgiven for your $500 attempted theft, and you didn't even go directly to jail, and you didn't pass go, and you didn't collect $200.
I mean, you mean you did?
Oh, no, he didn't. But he still kept to go around, and he got to go around, and he got to collect his $200. Would that be real fair of you, buddy, to treat Liana like that?
What did you say?
If you didn't forgive Liana after Cameron had forgiven you, would that be fair? No, that wouldn't be fair.
I mean, besides, it's just one paper.
Just one little paper dollar, yeah.
It's just ink with paper.
Have you guys ever done that, though, where maybe one of you forgives the other and you turn around and you're not forgiving and whack the other?
Okay.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah, you're the oldest. You've got all kinds of examples.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Holden was like, Cameron was like mad at you for something. I don't remember what exactly it was, but he like hit you in your apartment, and then you forgive him, and forgave him, and then, but I got mad at him for hitting you, so I hit him. And then he didn't forgive me, even though you've forgiven him.
Yeah. So you didn't complete the circle of forgiveness.
No.
No. And that's no good. What does that lead to? How do we end up feeling at the end of the day?
Well, then we forgot about it.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I still have a mark from.
So some people don't forget quite so easily. And sometimes get angry, and sometimes there's no circle of forgiveness, there's just a circle of whacking each other. It's all fun and games until somebody gets hurt. So which is a better way, how do we end up feeling when we forgive?
We feel like there's a frog.
Feel a little better, stomach. Maybe, than when we just keep whacking each other.
Like there's a frog jumping around in our stomach.
Maybe you feel like a frog, but not everybody does. Okay, guys, can I get you to sit up here with me?
Okay.
I mean, we'll be facing out instead of facing the ceiling or facing the carpet, okay? I need you for just a moment here. Cameron, please. And let us pray. God, you greatly forgive us. And you teach us to forgive one another. And it's hard work. And we don't always do it so well. We ask you to teach us to learn to forgive better. And to forgive deeply and permanently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can go back to your seats. So now the laughing starts again.
I'll wax among siblings aside. Forgiveness is serious business. Just look at how violent this gospel passage is. There's torture, throwing into prison, seizing a man by his throat. Peers of this wicked slave within Jesus' parable are greatly distressed, aggrieved, deeply offended. The graphic scene of unforgiveness is shocking to them. These folks are silent characters in the story, innocent bystanders, easy to overlook. But it's important that we see that they're not passive spectators, inactive. What they see is enough to move them, to seek justice for their fellow whose punishment does not fit his crime. They don't stand idly by and resign themselves to, oh, how ugly and unfortunate, but it's also none of my business. I'll just move on. I've got my own problems to deal with. It's unclear if the onlookers in the parable are aware of the debt that the threatening slave has already been forgiven. If not, how much more might they be incensed? But in any case, they have seen enough. When will the people of God have seen enough? Enough exploitation of working people. Enough degradation of the environment. Enough corruption. Enough war. Enough poverty and homelessness. Enough crippling medical debt. Enough racism. Enough sexism. Enough other forms of discrimination. It's easy to shrug our shoulders and just submit to that's the way that the world is. We can't fix these myriad problems. They weigh on us enough. A burden too heavy to bear and too wearying to think about. At least any more than we already have to. I feel that. I do. And there's a temptation to make forgiveness a simple exercise. To forgive a faceless multinational conglomerate in our hearts and just keep buying their candy bars and bottled waters. To forgive drone strikes carried out from thousands of miles away from their targets. To forgive the wastefulness that fills our landfills to the brim and the brokenness of a justice system blind to its disproportionate impact on people of color. It's easy because plenty of perpetrators within these systems do mean well, or at least are oblivious to the harm that's done when it happens out of sight. So much is designed to occur outside of our field of vision and then to be easily ignored. But to forgive of a concept, some kind of far-off entity or flawed institution, and move on, is more akin to Dietrich Bonhoeffer's concept of cheap grace. When we see ourselves and those who look like us and whose experiences most closely reflect our own as inherently worthy of forgiveness, and don't give it much thought or consideration, when it's grace we bestow on ourselves, that's not the kingdom of God. For forgiveness is deeper than that. It's ongoing. It's not merely one and done. Maybe the wicked slave conflated forgiveness with forgetting when confronting his debtor. That he was now even, back to good, and whatever happened with his master effectively meant nothing had ever happened. But wiping out his debts was not wiping out the memory of what led up before their elimination. It might be more akin to Jesus' scars in the resurrection. His body made whole and new, but still marked by all that had taken place leading to his death. In the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God's forgiveness, there appears to still be a memory. But it doesn't have to attach with it the same guilt and shame attached to previous actions. The past can be left in the past, but awareness remains. Wounds are not left open, but healing happens and scars form. But scars remain. An old adage is often used to teach teachers and is preached to preachers. Teach or preach from your scars, not from your wounds. Ask your forgiveness, as I know in my heart, I haven't always hewn to that advice or that teaching all that well myself. But I sense that this picture in the kingdom of God that Jesus illustrated, in this parable, it's intended for us to learn that we ultimately must learn from our scars, not from our wounds. We seek healing within a community, and we extend that community as we learn and are then able to teach, and teach by example. Wounds don't heal in an instant, not without a miracle. And the rarity of such a thing is why a miracle is called a miracle. The healing of wounds most often is a process. It takes time. And it doesn't always continue without interruption or setback. Scabs get torn off, or we even picket them ourselves. But we tend to them. We tend to one another's, with those who have learned most eager to be the ones to help those who have just begun the journey. And from our scars, we recognize there's no offense too great in God's kingdom that it cannot be healed some way, somehow. Some are bigger, harder to handle than others, for sure. Some are quite dire, carrying signs of a deep and insidious infection. And the wounded must desire to be healed if they are to receive the care that is offered. That's crucial. A one-sided version of forgiveness does have its value. An inner healing, a way of stopping the bleeding and keeping our defenses from destroying ourselves. But we can't force repentance from one another. We can't force repentance from another, but we can only lead by example and lead in a particular direction. There's a harsh punishment that's described from God the Father himself at the end of this parable. And it's hard to necessarily find that comforting. But it may be helpful in knowing our role in the reign of Christ is not to be the punishers of evildoers. And neither is it to passively accept the evil that is done. But we have to wait. And waiting is oh so hard. But we have to wait with an open mind and an open heart to receive those who want a measure of the grace that we first have received ourselves. And we are charged with actively taking on not that role of punisher, but what is our role? Our role as caretaker. Our role as healers, trained and in training at the same time. Forgiving indeed, as we first have been forgiven. By grace we will, and we ask God to help us. Amen.
Amen.